Amen. Thank you, Rhonda, and thank you, Daryl, and choir and orchestra for leading us in worship this morning. It's good to see you here. You glad to be in God's house today? Amen. Amen. We've had a wonderful time of worship, haven't we? Well, if you hadn't figured it out yet, I'm not Brother Don, all right? All right. Only person got confused about that was Donnie Parrish. Donnie, we're glad you're here today. But he was just giving a general message to Brother Don and the church. We love Donnie. We love Life Word. He'll be out in the foyer afterwards. You go by and see him. We appreciate it. He shared a little tidbit in that video that I mentioned. It just kind of spoke to my heart that Buddhist priest had come to faith in Jesus Christ. The New Testament tells us in Acts chapter 6 that many of the priests became obedient unto the Word of God. Even during Jesus' day, there was religious priests, most of them in Judaism, that had to deal with the reality that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him. So we appreciate what Life Word Ministry is doing all across the world, and we're honored to have Donnie here with us today. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, I'm going to speak to you today on the subject of abundant life. It's one of my favorite subjects to preach about. I shared parts of this message back a few months ago to a Renewal Ranch Chapel service, and it's just one of my kind of life passages because Christ has truly came into my life and changed me and given me an abundant life. Some of you know that I work with Renewal Ranch on a regular basis as part of recovery ministry. And I actually was saved out of a period of my life early in my late adolescence, early adulthood life when I was starting college, out of a drug and alcohol problem that I overcame with the help of Jesus Christ and God. And God saved me out of that lifestyle. And truly, when I found Jesus, man, it blew my world away. Amen? It was like I tell some people, I mentioned to the first service that there was an old Imperial song they used to sing to Teen Challenge back in the 70s, simply entitled, Jesus Made Me Higher Than I've Ever Been Before. And that's been a theme because He still makes me higher than I've ever been before. If you know Jesus, you know the high I'm talking about. Now, I know sometimes I'm just a little bit crazy and people know that. But a lot of times it's just Jesus. And I mean, I just do it when I'm all by myself. Amen. I told somebody the other day, I can't remember. I never forget when I was in Memphis, that car got stolen because I loaned it to a guy and he never brought it back. But anyway, that's a different story. But it was my first car with a sunroof. And I used to get so high on God's word and on Christian music, I'd have to lift that sunroof back just to stick my hand out and give everybody a wave, give them a wave offering. And that's really the way the Christian life is meant to be. God comes in, and we've been singing about it this morning. We've been celebrating it this morning. That's why we come to church every Lord's Day, to celebrate Jesus Christ. You don't get this out there. And we come in here, and some of you that are here, you're still not fully buying into it. I know, I can tell. You know, if everybody raises their hand, you say, oh, I don't know if I can raise my hand or not. Man, you get Jesus, you can raise your hand. It was all I could do to keep from running up and down the front a minute ago, you know. He just gets in you and He takes over and He just becomes what He's called us to be. We experience life on a whole new level that's really indescribable. It is totally indescribable. And we want you to experience the reality of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, our text this morning from John chapter 10 gives us this wonderful passage. I'll read it, and then I'll give you a little bit of the background. I'm just going to read verses 7 through 11 as our initial text. Then Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out, and he will find pasture. The thief cometh only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, I thank you today for this wonderful passage of scripture. I pray you'll bring it into our lives at this moment in time, Lord, in a fresh new way. Help us, Lord, that we'll leave here today different, knowing that we've been in your presence and your work, And your word has spoken to our hearts, and your Holy Spirit has convicted us. And you convict us to the point, Lord, that you convince us to be what you've called us to be. And Lord, we just pray for your anointing on this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this passage, it's a wonderful passage. Jesus comes, he says, I'm the good shepherd. It's an allegory. He's using a figure of speech here. He says that in verse 6 of John chapter 10. He's trying to use this analogy of the sheepfold and the nation of Israel and even the world that we live in today is a good parallel to what this means today. And he's calling us out of that. And he's saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the true shepherd. I'm the one, as he says in verse 11, that I lay my life down for the sheep. I'm the one who died on the cross for you. And I can give you what no one else can give you. And I love this analogy. Now, this was on the heels of John chapter 9. You know, one of the things Brother Don's always telling us, I like the way he does it. Anytime you look at a passage, you got to kind of see what the setup of the passage is, the context of the text that we're looking at. In John chapter 9, Jesus had healed a man that was blind. And this man that was blind, they gave him the hardest time because this man, he started, obviously, he said, you know, I was blind and now I see. They say, how'd that happen to you? How'd that happen to you? Everybody wanted to know how it happened. He told them, well, there was this man named Jesus who came by and he healed me and he made me be able to see. And they said, well, that's impossible. Jesus can't do that. They got so upset with him, they called him back before him the second time in chapter 9 and verse 25. And he said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. They started saying Jesus was just a sinner. He said, I don't know that, but he said, one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. Amen. You ever heard that lyric before in a little song called Amazing Grace? It's a great song. It's a great lyric. And so you see that. And you know, you may have not been physically blind, but I promise you, every one of us were spiritually blind. And Jesus has given us a vision to see spiritual realities and understanding. It's what we call light, spiritual understanding, a comprehension, the ability to see what only God reveals to us. And it's such a wonderful blessing when we see this. Our lives are forever changed. And this man, his life was changed. They got so upset with this man in verse 34. It says they cast him out. What did they cast him out of, church? They said, we don't believe you. You're not going to stay here no more. Now, in that day, it was the temple. And so they cast him out of the temple, and they got rid of him. But you know, the praising, the thing we rejoice, what they cast out, Jesus took in, amen? And so Jesus meets with him in verse 35, and he that they had cast him out. He said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And so what Jesus was saying, I'm him. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Son of God. And this man answered his wonderful profession of faith in verse 38. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You don't know why we've been worshiping this morning? Because we believe. And when you believe, it will stimulate your heart to worship. The reason some of you are struggling with worship, you're not believing. You've never really believed in Jesus Christ. You've come to church, you've made people think, you've been going through the motion, but you've never fully yielded your life to Jesus Christ. And you need to get Jesus in your heart. He will change everything. He is the ultimate game changer in this game that we call life. And he will forever change your life as you see this. So that's the background of this. Jesus is telling them. And so Jesus starts to tell them, you got all of these false prophets, these false shepherds that aren't good shepherds. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He said, these other guys are just fakes and phonies. They're not the good shepherd. He said, they're just wanting something out of you. Guys, we live in a world today filled with false shepherds. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. And so Jesus said, when he came into them and he was talking to them about this, he gave them a warning. And he said in that great verse, it's our central verse this morning, John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Before he talked to them about life, he talked to them about death. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses stood before the children of Israel and he said, I've set before you today life and death. Choose life. That's kind of what Jesus is setting before us here. It's not kind of, it is. Because he says, and I want us to notice as we look at this passage, the first thing we have to understand to really enjoy the spiritual life, we have to see the other life, the dark side. So look at the enemy we face at the first part of verse 10. Jesus calls him a thief. He is the thief. And he came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he's still doing that today. He's been doing it ever since the beginning of time. One of the things he wants to steal from you is the truth. The truth of God's word, because God knows that the truth is what sets man free. Jesus even said that in John 8. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so he tries to steal the truth from us with all the worldly thoughts, all their philosophies, all of their thoughts. And they say, well, this is what I feel, and this is what I think. And man, I'm full up to here with what the world thinks. I want to be filled all the way up to here with what God thinks. I want God to speak the truth. I don't want to be a part of a group of people that are stealing the truth and lying to people. And so he's talking to us about he's here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he'll do anything he can to do that. This is the enemy that we face. And Jesus was being very realistic. He was being very straightforward. And a lot of us are walking around in our lives today with our heads in the sand. We're acting like all this stuff about the devil and about demonism and about all this crazy stuff, that really doesn't affect me. That's no big deal. I don't know why these Christians are blowing this out of proportion. I'm telling you what, you will be on the highway to hell thinking that the devil is no big deal. Jesus talked to us about this devil. And he told us emphatically throughout God's word who he is and what he's up to. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he said he's like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. And he don't care how he does it. He'll chew you up and spit you out when there's nothing left of you. And that's the motives that he does. And he's got so many things that are available to him, this enemy that we face. There were other false prophets, but he is the enemy, and Jesus is trying to make us aware of this. Jesus said about it just in a few chapters earlier than where we're at in John 10 and John 8, in verse 44, he called him a murderer. He said he is a murderer from the beginning. You know, isn't it funny that I told you a minute ago he's been lying to people since the beginning of time. It all started in Genesis 3 when he lied to Adam and Eve. And he told them, God hadn't said this. Hey, God had said that. And he tried to reinterpret God's word. And that's what the false prophets are still doing today. They give you their spin on it. Man, I don't want anybody's spin. I want God's spin. I want what God has said, because I know that in the end, that's all that's going to matter, because God tells us in his word, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my word will last forever. Hey, I'm going with God. And God's telling us the truth. He's always stood for the truth and told us the truth. And so this thief, not only is he there to steal, but he's also there to kill and destroy. And man, it gets ugly when he starts killing and destroying. Man, it comes at us in so many different ways in our society today, from homicide to suicide. Two ends of the spectrum. You kill someone else or you kill yourself. That's what the devil wants you to do. He don't care. Why? Because he's a murderer. He's here to kill you if he can. That's his ultimate goal, to destroy you. He doesn't care if it's murder or suicide or drugs or alcohol or pride or greed or immorality and pornography or what we would call paranormal activity, witchcraft, demonic activity, psychics, even crazy things like movies and magic and all those things will lead you down a wrong road that you'll regret for the rest of your life. Just let me put a disclaimer out here. There's a new movie out right now that the media has really been buzzing on. It's called It. Well, I'm telling you, It is not it. And none of you young people need to have anything to do with that movie. The devil says, and God tells us in his word, those things are detestable. And you don't need to toy with those things. The devil will get into your life in a soft, subtle way. You say, I can handle it. You can't handle it. You don't know what the devil's fixing to throw at you. And I'm telling you, we as pastors and as God-fearing parents and teachers, we're around picking up the carnage of all these teenagers who say, I can handle it, and you can't handle it. Because you got to be strong to stand up and fight with the devil. He's a roaring lion. Even Michael the archangel wouldn't bring a railing accusation against him, but he condemned him in the name of Jesus Christ. He knew that he was up against a formidable foe. And so God is warning us here. And we see people falling out and families falling apart left and right. What's causing all this? I tell you what's causing it. The thief. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Trying to make sense out of something from a physical level that it's a spiritual problem. People are running to counselors left and right wanting help. They need to be running to God. Or running to counselors who know about God. Amen. Those are the real counselors. From the truth of God's word. We think we're going to get it all fixed with some kind of little band-aid, and it becomes an epidemic and our lives just continue to spiral out of control. Why? Because the thief is very real. He's the enemy we face. And he came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll continue to do it as long as we give him access to our life. So I'm asking you to stand strong and know. So that's the bad news. Now, the good news is not only the enemy we face, but the shepherd that we get to follow. Amen? Because Jesus said he did come to steal, kill, and destroy, but he said, here's the good news. But I've come that you might have life. Amen. I love that he gives us life. And when God talks about life here in John 10:10, he's not talking about your physical existence. He's talking about the one and only kind of true life, eternal life, spiritual life, God's sphere of living. That's real life. Folks, until you have Jesus Christ, you hadn't even begun to live. You're just running around here like I used to tell people. I had a little boy. I used to go to my grandparents' farm, and she'd cut a chicken's head off, and he'd take off running. She'd say, Mikey, go get that chicken before he bruises meat, or something like that. And I'm thinking, that silly chicken, he's running around here with his head cut off, and he don't even know he's dead. You know. That's what a lot of people in our society are doing. They're walking around here. They don't even know they're dead. The reason you're dead, spiritually speaking, because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he's the only one that came that you might have life. He's here to love you. That's what he says in this verse, verse 11. In this passage, he says, I am the good shepherd. I love you so much. I lay my life down for you. Tell me how many people you know that have ever died for you. I don't know anybody. I only know one. Now, I know some people I love a lot that I've said I would possibly die for them, but I've never had to. And there are some heroes that occasionally we hear about who literally lay their lives down physically for other people, heroic acts. We hear about those. But ultimately, in a spiritual sense, in true eternal life that God offers, so there's only been one man that's ever died for you, and his name was Jesus. And folks, if that don't prove that he loves you, even he would say, greater love, listen, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. No one has ever loved you or will ever love you like Jesus. And what the problem is, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Like the old country song used to say, you shouldn't listen to country songs either. I'll just put that in. They'll get you all messed up too. There's a few of them that are okay, but most of them lead you in that wrong direction. Listen, Jesus loves you. This I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. You know it? There's never been a shepherd that has loved you the way Jesus has. And the fact that he's a shepherd, not only does he love you, he longs to lead you. This passage tells us very clearly in verses 3 and 4, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep out by name and he leads them out. He leads them out. And when he's brought them out on his own, he goes before them. What a beautiful thing. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. You know, I love the simple, what is a Christian? I tell you, I love this terminology. A true Christian is someone who's following Jesus Christ. a follower of Jesus Christ. A lot of people are confused with that term Christian today because they've heard about it their whole life. But I tell you, they won't be confused if you're the real deal and you're a true follower of Jesus Christ. Because if you're following Jesus Christ, you'll never follow the false shepherds. And you'll never go the wrong direction. And you might slip up occasionally, but he's a good shepherd that loves you. He protects you. He provides for you. He will come and he will mend your wounds. He will help you get back on and establish your going again. That's the kind of good shepherd he is. He loves his sheep. He leads his sheep. And to lead us, he gives us what? A sense of direction. We live in so many, we're enumerated by so many people today who have no sense of direction. They don't know the first thing about what life is all about. I'm telling you, Jesus will give you a sense of direction because he loves you. He will lead you. He will lead you to the point that he will liberate you and he will give you freedom. Freedom like you've never experienced before. He will literally blow you away. He said, I lead my sheep to come and go and go out and find beautiful pasture. What an image that is of his provision on our life, how he's the one who takes care of us. And so there is the enemy we face. There is the shepherd we follow. And then finally this morning, I want you to notice from this passage the life that we find. Hopefully we find. The life that he's offering us to discover. He says to really discover this life, you've got to lose your life. Because if you lose your life, you will find your life in Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't make sense. It's the great paradox of Scripture. But you've got to become very selfless and you've got to submit yourself to the person of Jesus Christ and say, God, I can't do this. I need you to come into my life and take over. And God's willing and ready to do that at the drop of a hat when you have a sincere prayer and a longing of your heart and your life as you yield your life to Jesus Christ. And when he does this, as I've already mentioned, he will give you eternal life. And this eternal life is a life that lasts forever. You know, most of you know I lost my mom and dad recently in the last year. And even this morning during the first service, I was getting ready to preach and I couldn't help but think about them. They were members of this church. And they all, you know how mamas are, they make way too much of their kiddos, you know. And mama always was thrilled when I got the opportunity to preach, and she'd be here almost every Sunday night when I normally preach, and she'd hear me. But you know, I thought to myself, and God gave me a sense of comfort, when we stood here and we did their funerals in the last year, I know where my mama and daddy are at. And I'm not just saying I hope they're there. I'm telling you guys, I know they're there. They shared with me about Jesus. They talked to me about Jesus. They committed their lives to following Jesus. And I don't know about you, but this eternal life that is the life that he gives us, when Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly, it's a life that lives forever. You don't have to worry about death. Death is not your enemy anymore. Jesus is gaining the victory over death. And the worst thing that can happen to you and me, and many of the early disciples, they died martyrs' deaths following Jesus Christ. And you can read about them over in the book of Revelation that says that they're the ones that God is honoring and the prayers of the saints have come up to him. And God's got a special reward for those who lay their life down for the cross of Jesus Christ. Many of the early Christians did. Man, if they're willing to lay their lives down, can't I at least live for him? Can I at least love him? You need to go back and read about some of the great saints of yesteryear who literally laid their lives down, and there's still severe persecution. Why are we so a bunch of weaklings here in America? We act like if somebody asks us about Jesus, we get scared like a dog with his tail between his legs, and we run away. We can't even say anything. Folks, get bold for Jesus Christ. He came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. And that's eternal life. But not only is it eternal life, it's the fulfilled life. It's the life of contentment, peace, and joy, and satisfaction, and purpose, and passion. And I could go on and on and on and on. He calls himself the rock. We sung about that a little bit earlier. And I'm going to tell you, he's the rock that doesn't roll. You hear me? He's the sure foundation. You can depend on him.
He's the spring of living water. He's the bread of life that satisfies you like no one else will satisfy you. He gives you fulfillment and satisfaction like no one else. Yesterday morning, I had the privilege to be at Renewal Ranch Chapel service. I heard our chaplain speak, Scott Taylor. He said this, and it resonated in my heart when Scott said this. I love Scott. He said, until you know Jesus, you will always be addicted to something other than Jesus. Now let that sink in. Until you know Jesus, you will always be addicted to something other than Jesus. I'm glad I'm addicted to Jesus. And I hope you are too. And I hope he's turning your world upside down the way he's so good to do. And he's giving you joy in the midst of the storm. He's giving you purpose when everybody else seems to be lost their way. And that brings me to my final point about the abundant life. Not only is this the eternal life, the fulfilled life, but it's also the functional life. We live in a society today, psychologists and sociologists are always talking about dysfunctional families. Well, I'm telling you what, God can help you have a functional family. But before you can have a functional family, you've got to have a functional life. What does that mean, Brother Mike? It's a life that works. You know, I told the joke a few weeks ago when I was speaking at an engagement. I was kind of bashing country songs a minute ago. There's this kind of illustration that if you play a country song backwards, you'll get your family back, and you'll get your marriage back, and your dog back, and your job back, and everything else. And that's just a funny joke we say about country music. But folks, it's not playing a song backwards. It's getting Jesus in your heart. He'll help the pieces of your life fit together like no one else. Marriages stay together. Why? Because of Jesus. Homes stay together. Why? Because of Jesus. Teenagers and young adults, they find a level of living in life that no one understands, their joy, their satisfaction, their contentment. Where's that coming from? It's coming from Jesus. You give your life to Jesus, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things I will give to you. You give your heart to Jesus. Why? Because there's nowhere else you can go. Where are you going to go? Who else has given you life and given it to you abundantly? Listen, we're here as a church. We love doing what God has called us to do. We have a group of staff guys here that love Jesus, and I'm thankful for them. And we want to share Jesus not only to you, but to our whole community. We want people to know. But it's time that we outgrew this level of mediocrity that so many Christians are living today. It's just boring. And you've got just enough Jesus to make you miserable. And it's high time that you remember that Jesus came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. And it's high time that you tapped into that and let Jesus just blow your life away all over again the way he's so good to do. And he's so gracious to do. Quit settling for something less than God's best for your life. You're going to regret it. Some of you already are, but it's never too late. Let him today be the Lord of what's left of your life. Let's stand together. Brother Darrell's going to come and lead us an invitation appeal. Me and some of the pastors will be here in the altar to pray with you, to encourage you, to tell you more about Jesus. You're maybe here today and God's speaking to your heart. I want what that preacher's talking about. We'd love to tell you about Jesus. We'll set up an appointment. We'll counsel with you. We'll do whatever it takes. But this is a very important moment. It's a moment of spiritual decision in your heart. Some of you here just need to rededicate your life to say, Jesus, you are real. And you have done so much for me. And Jesus, I want to experience you today in fresh, new ways. I want to be excited about you, Jesus. This isn't some game that we're playing. I want to really live for you. And I want to give you full access to my life so that you can make a difference in my life. And my life can glorify you. If we can help you in any way, we're here to pray with you today as we sing.